See, when we use our spiritual gifts, it affirms God's plan over our lives.
Hey, welcome to The Breeze. We appreciate your time today and encourage you to head on over to thebreezechurch.com, where you can find the notes for this presentation, as well as links for all that's happening around The Breeze. Our hope is that this message helps move you forward in your faith journey.
Well, welcome. Glad you're with us today. My name is Blake. Always a privilege to serve and worship Jesus with you. Do me a favor. Let's give Jesus a round of applause today. Come on now. I am excited. Man, we have some big things in store, and I hope you're having a great week. Well, we're in this series, As For Me and My House. We're looking at Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. You see it on the screens, and I want you to do me a favor. Read this with me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? Like, that's a declaration over our lives. There is not an option in my house. There is not a question in my house. At Pastor Blake's house, 16192 Penny Royal Lane, Babcock Ranch, Florida. Come party with me anytime. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My friends, I'm praying that over your family. I'm praying that over our families at our church. I'm praying that for the future families, for all the families that know Jesus in Southwest Florida, that we have this understanding. There's this declaration in our lives that we are going to serve the Lord. So many times I see families who come to certain grips and moments in life where they make it optional. My friends, it is not optional. I'm telling you right now, make a stand, make a bold proclamation, declaration, prayer, make it everyday statement. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm reminded of this phenomenal missionary story, this man by the name of Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot felt called, he was from Portland, Oregon, felt called to go to Ecuador to reach an unreached people group. Him, along with four other missionaries, showed up and they got speared to death trying to carry the gospel to people who never heard about Jesus. Now, how many of us sound like that seemed like a kind of bad moment, right? It seemed like, man, we showed up and we did what God called us to do and it didn't happen. Here's what I found mesmerizing about the story is that Jim was married to this lady by the name of Elizabeth and they had a young daughter. Now, when you look at the story, Elizabeth would then relocate and move into Ecuador to try to minister where her husband just was murdered. Talk about a family that understood what it means to serve the Lord. I know if something like that happened to Brittany and she was like, hey, I'm going over here, something bad happened, I'd be like, yeah, God, I ain't going over there. Like, I think sometimes we kind of do this lackadaisical viewpoint of who God is in our life, the commitment that we are called to as in our family. And you might be sitting there right now and saying, Pastor Blake, I can't do this. This is crazy. Jim Elliott's story, Elizabeth's story, that kind of commitment, that sounds mind-blowing, not even imaginable for myself. I can't even get my husband to show up to church. He wants to smoke meat all day and watch the Cincinnati Bengals. Maybe you're out there. Come on now. Or maybe you're a husband in the room and you're thinking to yourself like, man, I just want my wife to just not be worried about what all of our friends or neighbors are thinking. Or I want my kids off the video games and I want them to get outside and enjoy some of the creation that God has blessed us with here in Southwest Florida. Or maybe you're sitting and you're like, man, I just don't want my daughter to marry or be with this loser anymore. And this guy needs to go get a job and quit living at mom's house, you know? And to think there's this commitment that we're called to as followers, as for me and my house, my friends, I am praying that over your life, even when it seems so difficult for yourself and your family's life right now to make that kind of commitment. So I love looking at Joshua's life when he says, as for me and my house, Joshua was older in age. He was this great warrior. He took this land, this promise he was given, and the people, and he stayed committed. And in his final days, when people were kind of being confused with different ideology, with different things around, with different cultures in which they were conquering or which they were a part of, Joshua said, I don't care what any of y'all believe. I don't care what the culture says around you. Guess what's going to happen at my house? We are going to serve the Lord. And so today I want to talk to you, continue that theme, building a family that serves God. And I want to begin here. God has equipped your home to impact someone else's heart. No matter what, God is using you where you are at. If you know it or if you don't know it, God wants to continue to minister through you. If you're parents and you're welcoming that first child into your home, God wants to use that home of two people and bring that addition in to work on that child's heart. Maybe you have students in the room and you're sending them to school. They're sending them to extracurricular activities. God wants to use those kids to impact their classmates' hearts. Maybe you're a manager. Maybe you're a business owner. Maybe you work for somebody. God wants to use you to impact someone's heart. Your home can influence those around you. Your home has influence in its community. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Can I get an amen, church? Come on. So today I want to talk to you how to build a family that serves the Lord. I want to give you three observations looking at Joshua's life on how to do just that. I want to begin here. First, you need to use what God has given you to serve others. You know, a lot of us, we operate in this kind of mentality that if I get surplus, then I'm going to start doing and give a little bit more. If I get extra, then I can do something. This is what Joshua came to understand in his life, that he started where he was at. He gave what he possibly could. Joshua, in Numbers 13, we see that Joshua is called to be this phenomenal spy. Now, if you're familiar with this story, Moses sends out 12 spies into this land that God has promised to give his people. Well, 10 spies return, and they say, nope, we can't take this land. God's saying, I brought you to the border. You're supposed to take this land. Moses commissions the spies and says, go. And these 10 come back and they say, we can't do it. There's giants in this land. There's fortified cities in this land. There's enemies in this land. It might be flowing with milk and honey. There might be massive amounts of fruit. There might be all these great things in this land, but we can't do it. And then Caleb and Joshua show up out of the 12 spies. Two of them return and says, this land is full of pastures, full of milk and honey, full of all of what God has promised us. The Lord is with us. Don't be discouraged. We can do it. We can seize the land that God has given us. And so you see this taking place. Here's where Joshua started. Joshua started with the spiritual gift of faith. Joshua started with his relationship with God. See, sometimes we think we have to either be equipped with maybe some possession, some money, some different ways we can help people through a trade, through a skill set. But Joshua leaned into his relationship with God and relied on this gift of his spirit to have this radical amount of faith. Have you ever been around somebody that has like remarkable faith? Like no matter what, you're hanging out with them and they're like, oh, God's going to see us through. God's got this. Don't worry about it. They're smiling. There's pep in their step. I mean, my friends, it's motivating. It's captivating. It's encouraging. It's contagious. This is the kind of gift that Joshua had, that God was using in his life to confront his people, to serve his community. When the community was questioning Joshua, when the community was like, I don't know if we can do that, Joshua was saying, yes, we can. We have our Lord, our mighty God who is with us. Joshua had faith to trust in God's plan. See, when we use our spiritual gifts, it affirms God's plan over our lives. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the apostle puts it this way: God has given each of you, everybody say each of you, a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. I want us to understand that God has given you a gift. You might be thinking, me? Yes, you. Each of you have a gift to serve other people in your community. See, you know, when it comes to this faith journey, when it comes to God in your life, it's never about I will start when I have some. God's always like, start now, start where you're at. In Culture Course, we have this Next Steps class. I encourage you, if you haven't been to Culture Course, do it. It's a three-step process where we try to get you connected at our church because we believe that each and every one of us need relationships. And we go through this spiritual assessment. Most scholars break it down to roughly around 16 different spiritual gifts that people may have. Now, this is different than fruits of the Spirit or gifts of the Spirit. Some people get confused. When you have fruits of the Spirit, when God is present and actively working in your life, you're going to naturally and supernaturally develop a character that is similar to God. And there's 9 fruits of the Spirit. Well, spiritual gifts are what God has gifted you individually. And so we kind of break down from a very higher level of what that looks like. I have a graphic for you, and we kind of split up. I know they're a little small, but there's about 16 loose right there around. But we see leadership, encouraging and helping others to build the kingdom of God. There's some of us that are naturally gifted to be leaders. There's others who are really good administrating and our administration gift. There's others that are great at teaching, instructing in truths and doctrines of God's word. Some people, you know, they get up here and they can just kind of talk and you're like, dude, it's enlightening. Great teachers. There's knowledge, ability to learn, explain, understand God's words and situations, wisdom, the ability to apply teaching and action in there. Prophecy, proclaiming the word of God with a boldness, discernment. Have you ever been around someone that just has that spiritual gift of discernment? They can like kind of cut through the way really quick and kind of call out what is a lie and call out what is truth. Maybe a gift of discernment. Exhortation, enthusiastic about the Lord, and can be very motivating to others. You can see we have about 8 more on this next one. Oh, there we go. Shepherding. Look out for the spiritual welfare of others. Faith, trusting God to fulfill his plan. Evangelism, let me go back to faith. Faith is what many scholars and theologians believe Joshua had, this great faith, that he could just hold on to God's plan over his life. Evangelism, build each other up and reaching the lost. You ever been around somebody that can just share Jesus whenever? Maybe the gift of evangelism, apostleship, motivators, and people that look beyond the normal. We see service and helps and those who can practically just minister to people, hands and feet of Jesus, mercy, show acts of compassion. Ever been around some of those individuals? Generosity, people who just light up and their heart beats when it comes to giving. And then we also see hospitality, making people feel like $100 no matter when they show up or how they show up. My friends, you have a gift. I would encourage you, maybe you're exploring it, maybe you're trying to figure that out. Joshua started with his gift and then used it to serve others. I believe this, a lot of people struggle to get connected, stay connected, make church a part of their routine. We talked about it last week. If you want to build a hunger for your family, a hunger for your home, you got to make church non-negotiable. And one thing that I believe that many people struggle to stay connected and involved is because they're not operating in their spiritual gift set. It's like they're trying to fit, you know, like it's the round peg, square hole, and you can't get it there. And you're just like, this doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. That's why I encourage you, start in Culture Course. Maybe you're like, hey, Pastor Blake, I've been here for a while. I'm still exploring this. We have some of these tools and resources to help you. But one of the leading challenges on why people are not connected to their churches is because of this area. So before we can look and see how God wants to use us, we have to come to some understanding of what some of our spiritual gifts might be. Practical ways to assess a gift set. Here, let me just give you 4 simple practical ways. You can see prayer and reflection. Like what makes your heart beat? What gives you a little passion there? Study of Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. Seek and give feedback. Seek feedback from your spouse. Maybe you see some things happening amongst your children, and you see like, oh man, they're kind of like running for mayor. They're really nice. That you can kind of see in the classroom. Maybe you kind of coach that out of them. Maybe they're a natural leader. Maybe they just love to share Jesus with people when it comes to your children. Try out different ministries. If you want to see what kind of like ignites or jumpstarts your heart, get involved in different places throughout your church. See, Joshua was this man who was committed to operating in a spiritual gift set. And you have to have this understanding of how God's wired you up. What kind of personality do you have? What kind of leaning do you have? I'll never forget when I was serving and working at a church in Las Vegas, my friend down the street who was a pastor had this big outreach, and it was this homeless outreach. And I remember I would show up and I'd be like, man, this is awesome on what you're doing and you could just see it would light up. And so I do what every great pastor does. We look at that idea and then we try to put it in our church's idea. Let's just say this. Pastor Blake didn't really know what he was doing. I would try to show up, and in Vegas, there was like massive homeless. I felt ill-prepared, didn't understand it. I felt like, God, man, like I'm struggling here. Like this isn't really like my thing. Like my friend finds joy. I'm waking up on Saturdays like, God, I think I'm sick. I think there's a flat tire in my truck. Like I'm thinking anything and everything so I wouldn't have to maybe engage in this kind of ministry. And so it kind of finally come to a point, I talked to a spiritual mentor of mine. He says, Blake, maybe God hasn't wired you up for that. And I think a lot of times we try to fit in certain places where God hasn't wired you up for that. If you want to serve and get involved in your kids' ministry, but you can't stand kids. Like, help me understand that, you know? And I think a lot of times we try that. People are like, oh, I want to be a great teacher. But then they don't like getting in front of people. There's things that you have to kind of work through. And Joshua had this understanding. He didn't wait until he had this surplus. He had this extreme gift of faith. So I want to let you know this and clue you in on this. Know your gift, develop your gift, and then use your gift for others. And that is right now. Don't wait, my friends. Maybe you're looking at Culture Course for a little pathway there. I want to encourage you, the first Sunday of January, get involved. Culture Course, step one, will help you make some of those decisions too. How to build a family that serves the Lord. You need to make God your source of strength and energy. Make God your source of strength and energy. How many of us know every family goes through some battles in life? You go through some struggles in life. You go and you're like, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm married to that person. God, whose kids are these? They are not my family, God. Like, come on. And then maybe you're thinking to yourself, God, we can't make that big decision. God, I don't want to make that happen. God, you're calling us to a different spot. So many people in Southwest Florida, they relocate or they move or they come in the area and there might be like, God, I love what I have going, but maybe God's leaning in a different direction. You have to make God your source of strength and your source of energy. If you try to rely on your own ability, my friends, your marriage will be drained. Raising your kids, you'll lack energy. Doing what God's called you to do, you'll find no joy or fulfillment in it. So Joshua, he shares this radical, supernatural gift that God has given him, great faith, and he says, we can take the land. The people get so irritated, so frustrated. We see this in the book of Numbers where they start to go around spreading lies within the whole nation of Israel. And it starts rising to the surface that people are having this idea of Numbers chapter 14, 10. The whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Like they're mad at his gift set. They're mad at what they are being challenged, that they're challenging the nation. They're like, nope, we don't like what you're asking us to do, Joshua. We think we should kill you. if someone wanted to put that threat on my life, I hope I would operate and do what Joshua did in Numbers chapter 14 and 6 and 9. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua son of Nun, Caleb son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing in complete humility in front of Moses. We are committed. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we've traveled through and explore is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into the land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing of milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Can you imagine thousands of people wanting to kill you, to stone you, because you are holding on to the promise that God has given everyone? You're the one that's sticking it through. You're the one that's showing up. The culture is saying, no, go this way. People are saying, no, go this way. But you're saying, you know what? My God has told me to stay here. My God has told me to hold on to this promise. God has told you to hold on to the fight for the promise of your marriage. God has told you to commit to raising your child a certain way. God has told you to love your neighbors, even when they don't like you. God has told you these things. Joshua is saying, that's the land we're supposed to take. And the people are saying, no, we don't want to go that way. So when things are tough, when things are hurting, when things are on the rocks and you're trying to get through life and you're dealing with different people in life and maybe it's an employee or a boss or whatever it might be, are you coming home and saying, God, I need your source of strength in my life. I need your energy in my life. Oswald Chambers, who wrote the book, My Utmost for His Highest, says this, we have to pray with our eyes on God, not on difficulties. I mean, it's really easy to look at difficulties in life, and that's all you see, all you look at. Oh, man, they don't treat me with respect. Man, I'm not having finances kind of breakthrough like I was hoping to at this point in my life. And we can get kind of just so locked in, so honed in, so zoned in on all the things that are going bad. We're missing what God wants to do that's for our good. 1 Peter chapter 4:11. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all your strength and energy that God supplies. Psalms 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. My friends, there's always going to be difficulties in life, but you get to choose. Are you going to look at the difficulties, or are you going to look at God the Creator? I call this the Peter principle. When you look at the moment Peter starts to walk on water, this miraculous moment in his life, can you imagine walking on water? Phenomenal. But what's he do? Starts to have fear, starts to take his eyes off Jesus, and he begins to sink. Where are your eyes focused on right now? If you want to create a home that serves the Lord, my friends, the first and foremost way you should be looking and encouraging your kids to look, encouraging those who live under your household to look, hey, what's Jesus saying over my life? How's Jesus leading in my life? Maybe you're here right now and you're thinking, man, I'm lost, I'm confused, I have a lot of questions in life. My friends, it starts with putting our eyes up into the Lord and looking at him as our strength, as our source of strength and our source of energy. Lastly, as the band makes their way up here, how to build a family that serves the Lord and all things bring glory to God. In all things bring glory to God. Joshua chapter 1, Moses dies. He doesn't enter into the promised land. So Joshua is deemed the next leader of God's people. In Joshua chapter 1, there's this statement that's made three times that Joshua repeatedly engraves on his heart. Be strong and courageous. God gives him these steps. He says, wherever you step foot in the land, I will give you. No one will be able to stand against you. I will be with you wherever you go. Joshua calls all the people together and he says, you basically remember what happened. We just got done wandering 40 years in the wilderness. And now we're coming back to where God wants us to be. And we need to remember this. We need to be strong and courageous in the Lord. There might be fear that's looming. There might be some questions out there. You might say, Pastor Blake, I'm empty. I have some mental things happening and taking place in my life, and I'm struggling to look at and handle some situations. Be strong and courageous in the Lord. It brings glory to God no matter what we face, no matter what we go through. 1 Peter 4:11. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. What I love about when you study Joshua's life, he says at the very beginning, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to stay committed despite how the battles might be, despite if we win the battle, despite if we lose the battle. The first wrestle that you have to have in your life is like, God, I'm going to serve you despite the outcome. I'm going to serve you despite how well I perform. I'm going to serve you despite the bad news I receive. I'm going to serve you despite the medical diagnosis that I just got. I'm going to serve you despite my loved one hurting. I'm going to serve you even though there's a lot of other things that might need my attention at this moment. I'm first going to start and serve you before and after the battle, because when we do this, all things we do will glorify God. God wants you not to wait for something miraculous to happen and when you're in a moment of surplus to then start moving and serving him. He wants you to start now. I had a proud dad moment this past week. I was reluctant to share this because, you know, I talk about my kids a lot. I'm in that season of life. I'm like, God, I need more illustrations, but hey, you know, when you have kids, you use them, right? Like, you talk about them, you know? My son, he played baseball not too long ago, and to say the least, he had a really rough game. You know, the one where you're like the dad, and you're like looking like, whose kid's that? I don't know. Like, they need to pull that kid. You know, like, I don't know this kid. I'm going to, like, walk over here. And, like, his dad is like, you know, there's a lot of heart issues. You just want your kid to do so good and all that, and a couple fly balls, he's hitting his glove, and I told him after the game, I'm like, bro, you have a glove so you can catch the ball, you know, like, it's baseball, you know, like, struck out, you know, I'm like, you got a bat to hit the ball, you know, like, so I'm going through this, you know, like, we're going back and forth, but, you know, as a parent, you get frustrated, you want him to do so good, and as I'm watching this, and it's kind of unfold, I'm like, all right, what am I going to do after the game? Like, how am I going to process this conversation? Like, I definitely don't want to be that dad that's like, hey, you da 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 da, you know, definitely don't want to do that. I've tried that. God had to get a hold of my heart, really break down some walls and barriers in my life. And so we're talking, we're going through some things on the drive home, processing some things. And I could tell, like, he doesn't talk much. He's like real quiet. So you almost have to like, hey, what do you think? How do you feel? Like, I'm a guy that I struggle, like, kind of communicating some of my feelings. And as we're driving home, I'm like, hey, so why do you think some of these things happen? Or what are your thoughts? And he's sitting there, he's frustrated, he's mad, and he, like, implodes. And, you know, and I'm like, hey, man, like, it's a game, you're 8. I don't even remember what I was doing when I was 8, right? Like, we just need to kind of move on and just keep getting better. And so I'm sitting there trying to be this parent. You know, I just preached literally last Sunday of like, hey, your kids are going to know your heavenly father based on their interaction with their earthly father. So this is ringing in the back of my mind. And I'm like, all right, Blake, like, keep cool, calm, and collected. And so we're going through this whole diagnosis. And again, it's baseball at 8 years old, keeping that perspective. And he goes, we get home and he gets out of the car. And he goes, Dad, I just want to get better. I just want to work my hardest. I want to catch a fly ball. I said, good job. Will you go hit me some more baseballs? I was like, man, dude, like we've been at all that. I didn't want to. Dad didn't want to. But he was wanting to make a commitment despite the outcome of what took place. I think a lot of times in our spiritual walk, we'll follow Jesus when everything's going right, when we're not striking out in life. We'll follow Jesus when we're catching every ball that's thrown our way, when life is good, when they like me, I'm in the moment with my spouse. We'll follow Jesus when I'm doing well at work. We'll follow Jesus when everything seems A-okay and life is all right. But this is what Joshua made a commitment to. Despite the outcome, he is going to have such an audacious faith with God that he's going to grip tight the plan of God over his life. He's going to be strong and courageous, and for him and his family, he will serve the Lord, church. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on in your life, but this is a commitment you can make right now. I'm going to ask each and every one of us to stand. We're going to wrap our time up together. As we sing in this next song, as we just call on the glory of God, you can make a commitment right now to be strong and courageous for you and your house to serve the Lord. I'm going to pray, we're going to declare that. And if you need to make a next step to follow Jesus, my friends, take a moment, fill out the Connect card. We would love to walk with you in this faith journey. But let's just declare his might, his glory. God, right now, we just praise you. We worship you. God, we thank you for everything you've done in our lives. I pray for those in this place right now. Things that don't seem to be adding up. They're struggling. God, we are asking you to help us to create a home that serves you. May we be strong and courageous when we look back. Despite how the battle turns out, we rely on you. And in Jesus, your great and mighty name, we all say.
Thanks for listening today. If you have questions or would like to speak to someone about taking the next step in your faith journey, we invite you to connect with us at thebreezechurch.com. That's thebreezechurch.com. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.